This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Phil Kirpin, Vice President for Policy at Americans for Prosperity. AFP is also part of a new coalition called Spending Revolt. Spending Revolt is a coalition of organizations designed to crack down on governments at all different levels across the nation that are wasting taxpayer dollars. One of the most egregious examples recently at the local level are these six-figure salaries for part-time city leaders in Bell, California. And Phil, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This might be the latest example of this, but was it the agenda here in Washington? Was it just how the state of California itself, perhaps, has been getting itself further and further into red ink? What started this coalition?
Well, it's really all of the above, but I think that in particular, it was a recognition that we've got to get our focus on government spending as the real driver of our fiscal problems in this country. I fear that if we focus on the debt and deficits, which are certainly important, but if we focus on them without talking about spending being the real driver of that, we may just be setting ourselves up for a huge tax hike down the line, which will balance the books for government, but at the expense of the American people. And so we want to shine a spotlight on spending. I think what we've seen over the past year and a half with the Tea Parties is kind of unprecedented in terms of people getting angry about government spending before they have to deal with the tax hikes that come along with it. And we launched this SpendingRevolt.com website just to focus that energy even more and make sure that people understand that spending is the root problem right now.
The website is SpendingRevolt.com. And Phil, what is the ultimate goal here? Is it just to send a message to the public officials that this conduct won't be tolerated anymore? Are there specific things you're asking them to do? What's the ultimate aim here?
Well, we're asking folks to sign a pledge we have on the website that pledges to only vote for candidates for federal office who will limit spending to 20% of GDP, which is the historical level. Right now, we are up at around 25% of GDP, which is, say, one out of every $4 of value of wealth produced in the United States in a year is now accounted for by government spending. And we think it's absolutely critical to rein in spending, start having significant cuts in spending now, not wait until we have a bond market debt crisis type event the way they had in Greece, because I think that if we don't get spending under control now, we will have a crisis within the next couple of years, and it will be very difficult to make good choices in a crisis, and we may be forced to adopt huge tax hikes if we get that far and haven't addressed spending.
What are some specific spending cuts, especially at the national level, that you think ought to be entertained very seriously?
Well, I think we can start with waste, and we can start with eliminating earmarks and corruption and all of the pork barrel stuff. And then I would say we've got to roll back some of the new huge spending that's been layered on top of what was already there. So I would repeal the stimulus bill. I would repeal the health care bill. But I think we've got to go much further. I think we need to look at some program cuts and eliminations and even whole cabinet agencies. And I would look back to the Contract with America and to some of the earlier Reagan promises. Even at the cabinet level, things like the Department of Commerce, which is mostly engaged in corporate welfare, the Department of Education, which really should be a local function, not a federal function. So I think we need to sort of look at the bigger picture here, eliminate entire departments, eliminate whole programs, as well as cutting out waste. I think that we've got to be very serious about reducing both waste in government and its overall size to get spending under control.
What about entitlements? A lot of folks say that's the real driver behind a lot of the red ink, although, as you mentioned, a lot more has been added in recent months. What's the smart way to proceed there, and do you think there actually is a consensus on touchy subjects like Social Security and Medicare that the people are ready to have?
Well, the unfortunate reality about Social Security and Medicare is that they will not be able to pay what's been promised to current workers, and that's unfortunate. I think that we need to reform those systems in a way that they offer a much better deal for workers and one that they can actually deliver. But the bottom line is Social Security is cash flow negative this year, 6 years ahead of schedule. That means there's more money going out than there is money coming in. The so-called trust fund, it does not exist because Congress has spent all that money on other spending. In the long term, the Medicare problem is even worse. I think that we've got to get these programs in line with reality, with what can actually be, with what we can actually afford, and what we and you know, the promises that we've made right now can be made good on. But number one, Social Security dollars have got to be invested in real assets that appreciate in value, not used in a Ponzi scheme where they're just paid out the door in current benefits. So we've got to transition to a system with real investment. I would prefer personal accounts. I know that's been controversial, but even if we invest it collectively, it's got to be put in real investments one way or the other. It can't just be handed over to politicians to spend on unrelated programs. And on the Medicare side, we've got to get the cost of health care down. We've got to have drivers of competition and efficiency and giving patients more control and more power over their dollars. Unfortunately, the health care law that was recently passed, I think, moves us in the wrong direction, makes health care more expensive, and actually exacerbates the Medicare problem for that reason. So I think we've got a positive solution for Social Security. It's real investment so that we can get real returns and give workers a better deal. Medicare is a much tougher challenge. It's part of the overall health care challenge. But I do think that there's a way to get health care under control and offer people more control and more choices while getting costs down. I just don't think the law that's been passed helps at all.
About 60 seconds left with Phil Kirpin of Americans for Prosperity. And Phil, I'm sure you'd be the first to admit that both parties have added to this spending problem, especially in recent years. You mentioned before that you're asking folks to pledge to only vote for those who will keep the spending down. As you look at the slate of candidates headed on the ballot for Congress, state, and even some local races that you're following around the country, do you get the sense that those type of candidates are being recruited?
I think so. I think that a lot of candidates are coming out of the protest movement that we've seen around the country. They're not professional politicians. They're people who are committed to doing a specific job of reducing the size, scope, and intrusiveness of government, and then they intend to leave politics. And so I do see a lot of encouraging sort of political newcomers who do seem committed to the idea of limited government. And I'll tell you, Greg, you are absolutely right that Republicans were terrible on the spending issue and the growth of government issue. And unfortunately, they sort of set the stage where it's been difficult for them to criticize Democrats coming in and even pressing their foot down on the accelerator even harder with respect to government spending. And the federal government is now spending about $112,000 every single second, which is just unbelievable if you think about it. And we've actually got a ticker there on spendingrevolt.com. You can watch how rapidly that spending is going on. But I think that in the last year and a half, Republicans have done a lot to show that they really understand that they made a mistake, that they lost their way on spending. They've apologized repeatedly for it. They've voted like fiscal conservatives for the most part. They voted against the health care bill, against Obama's budget. They voted against the stimulus bill. And so I think that on the whole, and clearly people need to look at individual candidates because you can't generalize the parties, but I think that on the whole, the Republicans seem to regret they're overspending in a way that I don't see from the Democratic side right now, and that at least offers some hope, I think.
Well, again, the website is spendingrevolt.com. Phil, thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Phil Kirpin is Vice President for Policy at Americans for Prosperity. Again, the website, spendingrevolt.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.